Okay. Turn with me, if you will, in your manual to page 60. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on part 6 of the intensive. We're going to come back to this a little later on, but I just wanted to point you to the chart on page 61, which I think hopefully will be helpful to us, to each of us, as we begin to take this teaching to the streets and we start thinking, you know, who has God put into my life that that I might, maybe he may be calling me and pursuing a word-based, prayerful, disciple-making relationship. So that might help jog your thinking and be used by the Holy Spirit to show people that you have in your life that you can pursue this with. This will be the last time for a course of your life, but there's going to be another session coming up on kind of a continuing on the theme of disciple making. There will be a group that will be, for the next 8 weeks or so, will be continuing this theme of how, not only how we can be a disciple making church, but how we can be individually, how we can be used by God to make disciples of His. So we'll look forward to more on that. Turn with me, if you would, now to page 63. This is the last seminar in the manual. And before I forget, who within the last week has been with another person, word open, reading the Bible in the last week? Carol's got her hand up. She walks in with her hand up. I'm sure she knows what question I asked, but she had her hand up. She did. All right, so raise your hand if in the last week you were with another believer, word open. Sam's got his hand half up. Elisa? All right, very good. Yes. Well, yeah, with another person. Yep. Anytime that you're together with another person, word open, reading the word together. Beautiful, beautiful, very good. Now, would anyone like to recite Matthew 28, 18 to 20, our memory verses for kind of our theme verses for the course? Anybody would like to show off their memory work? We'll work through it together. Verse 18. All authority. Jesus said, all authority. What's that? Jesus came to them saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Huge, foundational. Jesus has all authority. He's the King of all creation. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is the King of all creation. Then he gives us our job description, go make disciples. And then he gives us the comfort and the assurance of his presence throughout. When you really start to connect the dots on how those verses fit together, extraordinarily powerful premise. Jesus' lordship over all things, his great commission to us, our job, and then the assurance of his presence. Just huge when you start thinking through the implications of that. So let's look at page 63. We're going to talk a little bit about the this is kind of a course in review, is our time together today. There's not going to be a lot of new information, but we're going to kind of take the different pieces of what we learned together, and we're going to tie it all together in a bundle. And let's talk a little bit first. So we're going to go heads, then we're going to go hearts, and then we're going to talk about our hands. So let's talk first about our heads. Let me read on verse 63. We've covered a lot of Bible material during our time together. We could summarize much of it with the statement of what we've been looking at in Seminar 8 and during the intensive. So here, if you're looking for one paragraph or a couple of bullet points to kind of summarize the course together, because God's agenda is to transfer us into Christ's kingdom and to transform us to be like Christ, then our agenda is to press forward towards maturity in Christ by prayerfully setting our minds on God's word and to move others towards maturity in Christ by prayerfully speaking God's word to them. Okay? Powerful, powerful stuff. So looking back over the content of the course, What have you learned that is new or striking? How has your understanding or knowledge grown about God and his plans and about yourself and your life? So think about it again, first of all, kind of from an information standpoint. What is there maybe from that definition of because God's agenda is and our agenda is there new information that God used to supplement your data bank that kind of came out of the course? Maybe something that you're aware of that God has revealed to you throughout the course that maybe 3 months ago wasn't quite as firmly shaped. Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? No? Because you all have been well-fed from a theology standpoint, things are probably not a lot of new information that came out of it. Hopefully, and when we get down into the next section where we start talking about hearts, hopefully there'll be some more good that comes out of that. But by and large, like, we're all going to at least be aware of kind of God's agenda of pursuing people and how we fit into that. Okay, so I don't think there's probably anybody that 3 months ago wasn't at least intellectually aware, oh yeah, I'm supposed to share the gospel and I'm supposed to be used by God to help others mature in Christ. So let's talk about the next section. On page 64, under hearts. This understanding of what God wants us to do with the rest of our lives is very challenging. It confronts and opposes the worldly goals and priorities that most of us have in our hearts. So question one. How has the course challenged your priorities and goals in life? In what ways has your heart been changed? Any comments? My ears must be clogged. Comments? Yes, Elisa. Very good, very good. Dovetailing off what Elisa said, I would say that when we first got exposed to the Trellis and the Vine book about a year ago or so, that, and then the course of your life kind of drew this out further, I always had kind of an intellectual awareness that we as the church are supposed to be about the Great Commission, that the church is supposed to be about, you know, finding unreached people groups in third world countries and, you know, Bible translation and things like that. That was kind of what I thought of. I thought kind of in a macro sense that, yeah, that's all true. Where one of the things that God brought, that revealed to me more deeply as we went through the course, was that that includes my life. So from a micro standpoint, that... there are people in third world countries halfway around the world that have never heard of Jesus. But I also live in a subdivision in West County where probably the vast majority of the people are not saved. And so it started to become a lot more personal from a micro sense for me to think that, you know, it's not just for the Hudson Taylors of the world and people like that who go overseas to share the gospel to an unreached people group, but there are unsaved people surrounding me every day. And so that I have a role in that. It's not just a world missions, it's a St. Louis missions. It's a... Anybody, any thoughts on that? Any comments? Yes, Carol. How so? Mm-hmm. Well, it's impossible to do apart from God's intervention, right? Right. But let's use Mike as the example, because you know I love your son. You know he's one of my favorite people in the world, all right? Look at the fruit that God has borne through that man, through that, I call him a young man because he's younger than me. But so, seeds being planted based on the word over many years, and nothing to show for it on the outside, right? But those are seeds being planted. That, again, God brings the growth, so we have a responsibility. Let's go back to the three P's. I love some of the, kind of the simple things about this course. So what are the three P's that where we have a role? Because like we say, we by ourselves, we can't bring about any growth or any transformation in anyone, right? So what are the three P's? What's our role? Prayer. Diana says prayer. Very good. What else? Proclamation, very good. So it's based in the word. And people, right? So there's the three legs to the stool. And so I would argue, Carol, that what we see in Mike's life is evidence of those three coming together. God chose to bless those efforts. Now we can't control whether or not he's going to convert somebody or not, or how much fruit comes out of that. But what I love about it is our role in that is still the same. We pray for that person. We pray that the Holy Spirit's going to do a work. And we know that God uses his word as the agent of transformation. So it's not my supposed wisdom or seven steps to a healthy life or whatever the case may be. It's got to be based in God's word. And he promises that he will, his word never returns void. So he promises that he can and will use that on occasion in the transformation, in drawing people out of the darkness into the light and then growing them in maturity. So the good news is, Carol, that there's absolutely no, if what was this lady's name, Barbara? Barb. If this lady never becomes a Christian and never grows, but yet you've been faithful by praying for her and opening the word with her, you've done your job. And if God decides to move in her heart, praise God. But what I love about it is, again, it just kind of reaffirms what we know to be true from the Bible. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But we can be faithful to what we know God's revealed to us in his word. Okay? That's one of the things I love about this is that, again, to say, you know, go therefore and make disciples. Well, that sounds overwhelming when you think there's 7 billion people in the world, but there's, what, 250 houses in our subdivision? And we know enough of those people that, or coworkers, or whatever the case may be. So God doesn't have 7 billion people in my Rolodex, but he's got enough both saved and unsaved people that through prayer and with the word and getting together, God uses his word as that agent of transformation. So thank you for sharing that, Carol. That's a great encouragement. Any other thoughts? Let's look at the next one down. If anybody wants to offer up this one, feel free. What are the areas of sin in your life that you've been challenged about during the course, and what do you need to put to death, and what aspects of Christ-likeness do you especially need to adopt? Any thoughts? I'll tell you one for me. I was sharing with Marcus earlier from going down to the parade yesterday. God reminded me through that encounter that these are people who need Jesus. So it's really easy to kind of think of, you know, kind of categories of people based on lifestyles, whatever the case may be. But these are people created in the image of God, and if they don't have Jesus, they need Jesus. And so that was one of the things that I thought of is kind of it's really easy to be kind of think of people in categories as opposed to thinking of them as sheep without a shepherd, as helpless and harassed, and how Jesus looked on them with the crowds with compassion. And so, anyway, I thought about that. Any other thoughts anybody wants to chat about with that? Anybody? I have found myself, dovetailing off that, Jeff, I have found myself, whether it's a business lunch or whatever the case, I find myself, I mean, I've started keeping an extra Bible in my car, but just bringing a Bible with me to, if it's a coffee, if it's a lunch or whatever, just having a Bible with me, because not always, but a lot of times, some topic will come up that Scripture talks about, and being able to talk to it from God's Word rather than conventional wisdom or whatever the case may be, it's given me, I think, God's used the course, I guess, give me a higher level of confidence in not only in the power of God's Word, but in the breadth of what God's Word addresses. So, okay, let's move on. We're going to have a brief video. It's about 3.5-4 minutes long. So we're now at the top of page 65. Under input, so feel free to take notes if you would like, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about, more about taking it to the streets, what this is gonna look like with skin on. So, go ahead, Marcus. Thanks.
With share a word with someone for their benefit, one of the easiest and most effective is simply to open the Bible and read it together. And that's something that you've already been doing in your one-to-one readings. Before we go any further, why don't you pause and talk together about your one-to-one Bible readings, which you've been doing.
Good prompting. Talk to me a little bit about your one-to-one Bible readings. What's been your experience? Jay. Absolutely. Very good. Thanks, Jay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Some takeaways. Brian, yeah. Yep. Yep. Right. Absolutely. Some insights from the other person that the Holy Spirit may have revealed and been a blessing to you. Sure. Very good. Who else? Yes, Gwen. Carol, every week I get to hear, I just love being with Carol. And I love being with James. That has been so much fun. That has been so. There, James and Carol, they were friends before, but when we got together and read the Bible together, I mean, we really enjoyed being together. I mean, so I think we know and enjoy our relationship with James and Carol better than we did 3 months ago. And that, honestly, that Gwen said it before I did, but that's been one of the great blessings of this course for me. Is just I really feel like I know James and Carol so much better now and enjoy their company. And it was a blessing to be in the Word together. But so God used that to cement and broaden our relationship with one another. So there's one of the great side benefits. Again, there's the third P. We got prayer. We got proclamation. And the people piece of it is, as we think in, as we begin to broaden our horizons and think about disciple making, really every discipling relationship, it could be that your discipling relationships could be primarily, I mean, it could be inside the church, it could be with a coworker, it could be with a neighbor, it could be really with anybody. But what a great blessing it is and an opportunity to get to know other sheep from our fold even better. And so, what a great opportunity. What else? Any thoughts that, came out of the video also that you'd like to comment on? Yeah, Diana.
I don't know about the video, but getting together with Kathy, reading the Bible, it seemed like both of us would find something that was so beautiful or so rich, and you'd have somebody right there with you that felt very similar.
Right.
And it's just such a joy
right. To
have somebody walking with you.
Right. Absolutely. Great thought. Anybody here ever been discouraged? I'm the only one here who's ever been discouraged. Thank you, Tia, Jason. Very good. All right. What's one of the great antidotes to discouragement? Because we kind of focus on our circumstance, we focus on ourselves, whatever. But what a blessing it is that I'm not saying that discouragement was the context of that, but when I'm discouraged, when somebody has the opportunity to speak truth from God's word into my life, does that not reverse that discouragement and become encouragement? I mean, that's a powerful aspect of God's word. I mean, it's just so easy to get focused on self, and sometimes we need, as a blessing, a brother or sister to come alongside us and encourage us with a truth about God to remind us, yeah, He is on His throne. He does know everything, and He is all-powerful, and He does love us, and He crushed His Son for that. So, what else? Somebody? Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I like the way you use the word, you know, shepherd one another toward Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Romans 15:14 idea,
Very powerful truth. Thank you. And what we're talking about here, and he made the comment in here, I made some notes on it earlier, that, you know, we tend to think of ministry as maybe exciting, grand plans, big programs, lots of people showing up or whatever. And what we're talking about here, the course of your life methodology of making disciples is really very mundane. I mean, it's Kathy and Diana getting together at the Bread Co. It's powerful stuff. It's relational. It's growing together. It's incremental growth. But it's not promise keepers or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's not 50,000 people showing up for an event. This is very, in a sense, kind of pedestrian, but that's the way Jesus did ministry, right? I mean, he had a small group of people that he poured himself into. And look at the great fruit that, you know, through the Holy Spirit that's come about as part of that. I just think that's hugely encouraging. Yeah, go ahead, Carol. Oh, yeah. James and I would get done with our lesson about an hour and a half before Carol and Glenn would, just so you know. But quite honestly, a lot of times, again, we'll just say maybe there's an issue or a matter that's become a discouragement or whatever the case may be. A lot of times we get clouded. We tend to focus on the issue, and it's easier for another person to think of where God's word might speak to a certain situation or whatever, and they can then direct us to that passage and hear from God directly, whereas We tend to get clouded in our minds, and so that's a great blessing for how we need each other to see God's word and then direct us there and then apply God's word, and that's powerful. So that was one of my big takeaways from the video piece of it, and then just kind of how this has all played out is that I tend to think in kind of big picture, big event kind of more flashy kind of stuff. Whereas what we're really talking about here is fairly small scale, but doable for everybody, right? I mean, there's not a person here that, you know, doesn't own a Bible, can't pray, and doesn't know another person, right? So all hands on deck. Now this is the tricky part, since we're in the last session, is for anybody, like, I've been in business for a long time. Probably most people here have been to some kind of a seminar. Like a one-day seminar or whatever, you're going to go get a shot in the arm. And all the tricky thing about that is, a lot of times those things, by the time somebody gets back to the office the next morning, it kind of dissipates and never actually gets put into use. And so I just want to remind us as we think about what we've learned about here over the last number of months relative to this, is we've already been doing everything that the course is asking us to do, right? So we've already been praying with our Bible reading partner. We've already been reading the Word together. And there's a person on the other side of this. So it's real typical, and Jeff and others will be, in coming weeks, will be talking more about kind of our desire, hopefully collectively and individually, to be used by God to make disciples of Jesus. So it's not complex. We've already been doing it. But it's real easy. It's so tempting to take something like this and kind of put it up on the shelf and not apply it. And so my encouragement and my prayer for each one of us, including me, is that I'm going to be challenged to realize, again, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. I'm growing to love this verse more and more. 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 3, which said, I'll just start at verse 1 and go to the end of verse 3. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So key in on verse 3 there, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we've already been, through our time together, we've already been doing the practices of what the course is calling us to do, praying about it, being together with another person, word open. So we're talking about this is evangelism, but it's also growth, right? So it's being with another person, word open. Really, the challenge, the reason I reinforce it with that verse is God has promised that he's given us everything we need to do this. So we've already been practicing it. And so now and in coming months, our job is going to be, hopefully, to be excited about not only what God's great commission is, but where we fit into that. And to be praying about and then to step out in faith, trusting that God has or will bring people into our lives that we can read the word together with, that we can be used by God, and then trusting that not only is that person going to possibly come to faith in Christ or grow in Christ-likeness and maturity, but that God's going to use that to grow us as well. One of the things that I heard from a number in the crowd is that when we were with that other person, God didn't just grow them, he grew me. And so I think I can speak for James that when he and I were together, we both grew. And I know Gwen and Carol, same thing. So there's a sense in which if I want to grow more like Christ, this is also a really healthy thing for me to be involved in. And so hopefully that'll be the case, that as we go forth from here, that we'll have opportunity and but it's a step out in faith, right? It's easier to sit on the bench than it is to get in the game. If we stay on the bench, we're not going to get hurt. No cuts, no nicks, no nothing. But to get in the game, certainly there's risk. But what a great opportunity to be used by God in his great commission. Let's see. Any thoughts on, is there anyone that God has maybe put a person, coworker, neighbor on your heart that maybe he's brought into your life that you're sensing that God may be challenging you to go to that person and ask if they would be willing to be in some kind of a Bible reading discipleship program with you? Anybody? Thoughts? Very, very important that we, again, continue to be prayerful about this and just continue to be, and this, it's great to think about, this is why I'm here, right? this is why I exist. That's why God, I've heard it said before, what's the one thing you can do on earth that you can't do in heaven? Evangelize, right? So God's got us here to fulfill the Great Commission, and so I just think it's important to be thoughtful about that and realize that, gosh, if that's why God's got me here, I want to execute on that. And so let me read something to you. We'll close up in prayer here in just a minute, but I was reading a sermon by J.C. Ryle on a plane this past week, and it was a great encouragement to me, so I'll share it with you. This is a paragraph out of a sermon that he wrote on Haggai 1, verse 7. And it says this, and I think it spoke directly to what we're talking about here. J.C. Ryle said the following: "Let us bring out the Bible more when we get together. We none of us know it all yet. Our brother may have found some pearl in it which has escaped our eyes, and we perhaps may show him something in return. It is the common map by which we all journey. Let us not behave as if we had each a private map to be studied in a corner and kept to ourselves. Oh, that the word were like a burning fire shut up in our bones so that we could not forbear speaking of it." There's J.C. Ryle on the course of your life. So let's close up in prayer. And thank you again all for coming. And again, my prayer is going to continue to be that God's going to make it real obvious to us, that God's going to put in each of us a desire to be disciple makers, and then to take this to the streets and to be aware of the people that God's brought into our lives, that we can just do some one-on-one, open Bible, prayerful, and that God's gonna give us great joy in that endeavor. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for this course, and we thank you for the privilege of being your children. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of the challenge and the command and the commission that you give us to make disciples of Jesus. Father, we how empty our lives would be if it was only about working and playing and eating and sleeping until we go home to be with you. But Father, you've given us a great pursuit to pursue in your strength. Father, you've given us every resource we need to be faithful in that pursuit. Father, we can save no one, but we know that you are a great and glorious God, and you are all about increasing the fame of your name here on earth. Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would press in on each of us. Father, that you would put in each of us a great desire to be used by you. Father, that we would be faithful in using your word and prayer to reach out to people. And Father, we give us a great confidence in your word and a great confidence in your spirit. And Father, I pray that each one of us would be used by you to advance your kingdom here in St. Louis and to the ends of the earth. Father, we ask that you would bless the worship service upcoming. Pray that you would bless Jeff as he preaches. And Father, we come hungry to hear from you. We come needing to hear from you and asking that you would transform our minds and our hearts by your Spirit through your word. And Father, we entrust this time upcoming to you. We ask in Jesus' name.